Our first reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 18 through 20. Jesus has just healed a bent-over woman in the temple on the Sabbath. So Jesus is in trouble again. Jesus gets in a lot of trouble. And then he goes on to teach some parables about the kingdom of God. So we begin at verse 18 of Luke 13. So Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. And again Jesus said, to what should I compare the kingdom of heaven? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the book of Ephesians, we read in chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. And now Paul is in prison when he writes this letter to the Ephesians, and they're concerned about his suffering, and they're discouraged that somehow believing in Jesus Christ hasn't saved them from all of this suffering and disappointment. But Paul is, as always, so convinced about the power of the gospel, and so he writes to them, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. And I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who, by the power at work in us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or even imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Her name is Sarah Miles. And she tells her story in a memoir titled Take This Bread. Sarah's parents were atheists, and they had taught her to deny from the time she could understand, to deny the existence of God. They raised her to believe that there was nothing beyond the material that she could taste and touch and see. And for years, Sarah happily accepted this view of the world, in which there was no divine being, no transcendent author of life, no God who created and watched and cared. But then in the 47th year of her life, Sarah's best friend died of AIDS, and not long after that, her father died of cancer just 4 days after he was diagnosed, and these losses cut through her soul like a sharp knife, and they confirmed for Sarah what her parents had always taught her: there is no God. And yet one Sunday morning, feeling hopeless and curious and restless, This 47-year-old atheist wandered through the red doors of the neighborhood church that she had walked by 1,000 times, and she sat down in one of those old wooden pews beneath the dim filtered light from the stained glass windows. The organ music floated down from the balcony, and there was dust in the colored light. And the scent from years of burning Christmas candles still lingered in that air. And everything about this place and everything about this moment was utterly odd to Sarah. She had never heard the story of Jesus. She had never sung a hymn. She had never prayed the Lord's Prayer. But for some reason, she walked through the red doors of that old neighborhood church. And near the end of that Sunday morning service, when the congregation went forward to receive the Lord's Supper, Sarah the atheist went forward too. I don't know what kind of invitation they had for the supper, but whatever it was, Sarah thought that she was invited. And so she took her place in the midst of these strangers at this strange table. Sarah was hungry and thirsty for something that she could not name. And as she tasted that bread on her tongue, and as she heard the minister say those words, "The body of Christ broken for you," Sarah knew in a single instant that God was real, that Jesus was God, that Jesus was risen, and that she had just taken the risen Christ into her own flesh and blood. As those material things that she could taste and see entered her body, Sarah entered the transcendent kingdom of the living God. That ordinary communion table with ordinary bread and grape juice had become for Sarah the banquet feast of the Lamb in the kingdom of God. Jesus asks in the Gospel of Luke, "What is the kingdom of heaven like? To what shall we compare the kingdom of God?" And Jesus answers, "The kingdom of God is like a single tiny mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and hid in 3 measures, that's 128 cups of flour." And as I picture this scene, I can see Jesus' disciples just staring back at him as he describes the kingdom. Jesus had come to their village announcing that the kingdom of God had arrived. And these disciples had followed him, leaving wet, tangled nets on the seashore and empty chairs at the kitchen table. They had thrown in their lot. They had mortgaged their future to go with this one who said, "With me, the kingdom of the living God has arrived on earth." Oh, they were hungry and thirsty for something bigger and something better and something more powerful than their lives under Roman occupation. And so now they are many months into this venture with Jesus, and the report card actually isn't looking so good. It feels like the presidential campaign. It's a good grade today and a bad grade tomorrow, and a good grade today and a bad grade tomorrow. And right now, the disciples' enthusiasm is giving way to some serious disappointment. Yeah, Jesus has healed some people, and he did calm a storm at the sea, and he has preached some interesting, that's code for confusing, sermons to people who are mostly poor and mostly powerless. And at the same time, Jesus has made a lot of really powerful people mad, just like this morning's text. The temple authorities are keeping a heresy file on Jesus, and in Luke's gospel, the people in Jesus' hometown have tried to run him off a cliff. And so this morning, as the disciples listen to Jesus, they're wondering, what is the kingdom like? To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Now in their minds, they have imagined the kingdom. They know what they want Jesus to say about the kingdom. They want him to say, it is like the Holy Roman Empire, only it's bigger and stronger and will be more triumphant. In their imaginations, they would like Jesus to say that the kingdom of God includes a huge throne room, and inside there's a big red velvet throne for every single one of you. And there are crowns with your names inscribed in gold and covered with jewels. That's what they want to hear from Jesus. Jesus, tell us. What is the kingdom of God like? And so, looking them straight in the eye, Jesus offers them this image. The kingdom of God is like a weed seed so small that when you put it between your thumb and index finger, it disappears. And with words, Jesus paints this picture of an old aproned woman hiding a pinch of yeast, a fragile bacterial fungus, in three huge sacks of stone ground wheat. The kingdom of God is like a tiny weed seed hidden in a huge field, and the kingdom of God is like a fungus hidden in burlap sacks of wheat. And the kingdom of God is like a tiny morsel of communion bread on the tongue of an atheist woman. Now I can just see the 12 looking back at Jesus, kind of rolling their eyes and thinking, ugh. When is he gonna tell us what we want to hear? And they're kind of rubbing their beards and wondering, did we throw in our lot for the wrong thing here? Now the stories end up better than they start, right? Better to have a big tree with birds coming and nesting in the branches, and better to have dough rising as the yeast does its work, and better to think about the kingdom as something that's growing. But if you've ever made bread, you know how fragile that lump is, that you can touch it and it will never rise again. And in this part of the world, the leaves fall off the trees and those tiny nests blow out and lay on the ground. And so even in the end, these parables of the kingdom come up far short from what the disciples have imagined. And I have to tell you, I'm with them. I'm with the disciples. I want something more solid, and I want something bigger, and I want something more robust and more spectacular. I want wild, stunning, progressive growth, spiritual and numerical in the church. And I want peace in every place, and I want there to be justice for all people. I don't want just one kingdom tree in the world. I want a whole forest of kingdom trees, and I want them now. I'm with the disciples. But the great good news of these parables is not in the promise that the kingdom of God will bring rapid numerical growth to the church, or that the kingdom will unfold in a whole series of stunning successes that bring peace and justice and abundant life to the world right now. The good news of these parables is that God's kingdom is present, and God's kingdom is active through the Spirit of the risen Christ. That's what Paul believes from his prison cell. He writes to the Ephesians to remind them there is a hidden power at work in you, in the church, in your hearts. There is a power at work in the church by which God's people can know the breadth and height and length and depth of the love of Jesus Christ. And in that knowledge, says Paul, we are filled with the fullness of God. And the good news of these parables is that the power of the Spirit of the risen Christ is present not only in the church, but also in the world. It is God who plants the seeds and leavens the lump of the world's life. The Spirit blows where she will, in the church and beyond the church. It is God who brings the kingdom. And the good news of the parables is that we, like the birds who come to nest in the branches of that beautiful tree, we can stop our anxious striving. We can stop our worrying about growing the church. We can rest in the assurance that God is bringing God's own reign, God's own kingdom to the earth. And it's hard for us to keep track of it. It's hard to accept that God's kingdom comes through these tiny things, through these minute, minuscule means, that the kingdom is disguised in ordinary and it just hides in plain sight. Like it hides in the tall, bawling baby in Bethlehem, born to an unwed mother, and it hides in that motley crew of disciples who, in their wildest imaginations, cannot imagine the words and the ways of this Jesus. And the kingdom is hidden in this yeasty loaf and this cup of juice that sits on communion tables in Hawaii and Hong Kong and Hackensack and every place in between. The kingdom is hidden in these ordinary things. And so it is that Sarah Miles, an atheist from birth, through the power of the Spirit, meets and recognizes the living God in a bite-sized piece of bread, leavened with the yeast of the kingdom. And so it is that Sarah began a food ministry in that church, serving 600 hungry people from the very same table at which she met Jesus Christ. And so it is that Sarah recognized herself as a tiny seed in the hands of the living God, and she offered herself to be the yeast of God's kingdom on earth. She offered herself to be God's leaven in the life of the world. She offered herself to be God's kingdom joy in the barren, hopeless, and grief-filled fields of human existence. And so it is that there is a power at work in us. And now to him who, by the power at work in us, is able to do abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for good news, even though we sometimes find it hard to hear and understand and hold on to. We give you thanks for the power at work in us. And pray that you will let us rest in it and grow in it and thrive in it for the sake of your own love in us and in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.